Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come down now upon us, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Ten years after the crucifixion of Jesus, 10 years to the season, for it is Pascha, it is the Passover feast. And King Herod Agrippa would gain favor with the Jews, the chief priests, the presbyters, the rulers. And so John's brother, James, the son of Zebedee, is the first to die. And this is met with acclaim, clapping, joy. And now Peter, too, is imprisoned, awaiting his own fate after the Passover. And can you imagine that moment with me this evening? Peter, the rock man, with a head as thick as his nickname. Peter, rock man, sliding in and out of the fevered dreams on that cold spring night. Peter, remembering Jesus' words, when you are old, they will carry you where you do not want to go. And when you are old, you will stretch out your arms. Crucifixion. Doubt springing up in Peter's mind, for Peter has never been one of great faith. Great boldness, but not great faith. Wondering, am I old? Is this my moment? Hope withering in that dark keep, that hold between the two Roman soldiers. For not even Rockman himself can stand fast, naked, chained, between the two legionnaires as the wind blows on that cold spring night. His bulk of flesh shivers, his crooked teeth chatter, and the bullish snores of the legionnaires on either side remind him in the dark of the wool blankets that they sleep beneath. He would give a whole load of fish just for one of those. And yet, in that dark keep, in that moment, the rock man finally dozes. He is hardy, after all. He sleeps, or so it seems. For where is that flashing light coming from? And the warmth on his bare skin? Where is that voice speaking from? Peter rubs his eyes, the manacles clinking and clanging with the motion. What is going on? Surely it is a dream. But then the ooh, the slap in his ribs, hands pulling him upward. Get up, quickly, get dressed. His chains falling by themselves from his wrists. This is a good dream. A good dream, says Rockman, as he pulls on his old tunic, homespun, as he throws over his shoulders the cloak that still reeks of sweat and fish. A man standing before him. Come on, follow me, quickly. And so Peter dutifully tails along behind the man, past one guard post and then another. This is a good dream, a really good dream. The rock man is nodding to himself, maybe a vision even. I've had these before. And then the iron gate to the prison, swinging open of its own accord, and the man leading Peter into a narrow alley just outside of the hold. Peter, glancing up at the stars twinkling in the night sky, that brisk night, taking a deep breath, letting it out, thank you. But the man is gone. And only in this moment does Peter realize that this is no dream. The Lord, Jesus, He sent His angel to set me free from Herod. And in this moment, and on this night in Jerusalem, faith deepens, love grows, and hope flourishes as Peter goes to the prayer meeting where they have been begging God to set him free. It's a weird story, isn't it? Strange, especially to those of us who are 21st century North Americans. We live in the world of cars, internet, human achievement. We live in a flat, manageable world, a world that we can control. But a spirit busting St. Peter out of prison? It's a little far-fetched, it seems. A little odd. And yet, throughout history and the world over, there are stories in every culture and time of eruptions of vitality, power and destruction, something behind the scenes. We moderns may pat ourselves on the back for not being the primitive superstitious types. And yet, as William Shakespeare so eloquently put it, there are more things in heaven and on earth, Horatio, than you have ever in your philosophy dreamt of. This world is a world of shine and shadow, weirded and worded, a world of strange things, both visible and invisible. And the Bible agrees. The Bible agrees. Throughout Scripture, there are tales. Tales of angels, strange creatures. Prophets see thunderous monsters thronging in dance and song before throne and altar. The cherubim bucking and roaring out their psalms of praise as their thousandfold eyes blink with wonder. Beside them, the seraphim, the burning ones, whirling like fire. Wings before, aft, over, and below. Great, strange creatures. And then the stars in their courses, chanting along, fighting these sentient hosts of the living God. Strange creatures behind the scenes. In Israelite hamlets and towns, the veil between visible and invisible growing thin. Men appearing in white with messages of weal and woe. You will have a son. Flee Sodom and Gomorrah, for God's wrath is upon it. Do not kill this boy. I know you have faith in God. Strange creatures flitting back and forth between heaven and earth. Creatures at God's command, always doing what God has asked. Creatures that God uses to deepen human faith, human love, and human hope. Creatures that the psalmist describes as winds, burning flames of fire. Or later, as the writer of Hebrews, who appropriates that and then continues, says, ministering spirit sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. And in our story this evening, it is strange angels' work that we do see. God using an angel to deepen the faith, the hope, and the love of that small community in Jerusalem that 10 years on is facing intense persecution. God working through his angels to prepare and deepen faith, hope, and love. And also our faith, hope, and love. For God still uses angels today. Father Michael Alexa, an Eastern Orthodox priest who spent his time and vocation in Alaska among the Yupik people, tells the story of the first missionaries sent that way, of how in the 17th century, one of the bishops of St. Petersburg sent a band of monks to convert the natives. And so as these monks navigated the Aleutian Islands, they had a bit of a surprise. One morning they came ashore on one particular island, and a whole village was there to meet them. "Welcome, welcome," cried the natives. "Come, come. What is it that you have to tell us?" The monks looked around. "How did you know we would be here, and how do you know we have something to tell you?" "Ah, it's just our medicine man. Our medicine man told us that you would be coming today and that you would tell us of the true God and that we must listen." "Can we talk to this medicine man?" "Sure." And so the monks speak with the medicine man. "How did you know that we were coming and that we bring news of the true God?" "Well, my spirits told me." "Your spirits? Tell us about these spirits." And he began to describe angels. Strange. God uses angels to prepare and to deepen faith, hope, and love in human beings, in us. A little closer to home. A few years ago, my mother-in-law lay dying. And one night she woke, and at the foot of her bed, a man was standing in white. At first, she thought it was my father-in-law, but if you know my mother-in-law, she was in charge of his clothing, and she immediately deduced that it couldn't be him because he did not own any white clothes. An amazing source of comfort. God uses angels to deepen, to prepare our faith, our hope, and our love, to make us people who are brought back to Him. For angels' work is not to highlight themselves, but always, as in the case of St. Peter, to bring people back to the living one and give them eyes to see and ears to hear. And so, this evening, sisters and brothers, as we celebrate the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, we will, with that angelic throng, enter into the Holy of Holies and feast with the Lamb. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.